Good afternoon. I'm Alana Putza, Senior Program Director at the Logatum Institute, and I'd like to welcome my two conversation partners this afternoon. We're here with Boris Reitschuster, Moscow correspondent of Focus, and Jörg Eigendorf, head of investigative team at Die Welt. And you both are here as part of our strategy workshop looking at the challenges of Russian propaganda or disinformation, and also some of the ways that Europe and the US and other democracies can work together to find solutions. You're both German journalists, so I thought we could focus this conversation a little bit on some of the challenges in Germany, and then also just some of the challenges of being a journalist and working in this type of foggy environment. Boris, why don't we start with you? What do you see are some of the main challenges of how Russian propaganda has shaped the narratives within Germany?
I think the main problem is that the things which are going on in Russia are beyond the world of thinking of us, of Westerners. And I always see a big difference if I have some speeches or public appearances in Eastern Germany. People always tell me, oh, we know what you're speaking about. Oh, it's so common to us. We know this because they have we're living 40 years under Soviet regime. And in Western Germany, it's nearly always the opposite. People say, we cannot believe what you're telling. It's some fair tales you're telling. This cannot be true. And people just cannot imagine what's going on. And that's really hard. So we have really to make a very hard translation work. And unfortunately, it's about credibility because people, it seems it's easier for them sometimes to believe in the Russian propaganda than in the real journalism, because it's so incredible what's going on in Russia that one doesn't believe it.
Now, what can we expand a little bit on sort of what are some of the methods that, or what are some of the other things that you see? I mean, are there methods in terms of, we talked about sort of spreading kind of silly rumors or foolish lies. What are some of the other ones that are seen in Germany?
The problem is that this propaganda or the way of working with media, that the Kremlin has very well understood what our standards are and to use these standards against us. For example, when you see in the Ukraine conflict that we have to prove what we report about, but sometimes it's very difficult to prove it, because if the tanks are green and have no Russian flag and Vladimir Putin is saying these are not my tanks, but you report and these are Russian tanks, and then you maybe ask, how can you prove that? And then there starts the problem. He knows exactly how to work with our standards. We have to prove things which are obvious, but we cannot prove. So the reality can be only told in the subjunctive, and that makes it extremely difficult for us. The second standard we have, we always have to listen to both sides. But if you have one side in the game which has just the intention to disinform you, then it is extremely difficult to work with that. And if you give this disinformation the room, the same room as the facts you have and as the research you've done, it is extremely difficult to report on it. And to get through with that is a task which needs a lot of credibility as a reporter, and the credibility of a reporter has to be very high. And here we see a big problem that sometimes, and that is what Boris just referred to, and I think he's absolutely right, many people in Western Germany just can't imagine who is there on the other side and how willing they are to break rules, to play a wrong game, a false game. The Russian propaganda machine tries everything to undermine the credibility of the reporter. So if we really look at from that view, that the main goal is to create insecurity, then Russia really has achieved it. And they have achieved it in Germany very well, because the German society is a different one than most other Western societies, because one quarter of our country until 25 years ago was a socialist society, and this is an inheritance which is a very fruitful soil for this way of operating the Kremlin does.
So you mentioned that Germany is sort of a different case, or it might be a special case in Europe because of obviously the history and the past. I'm wondering, what about in terms of Germany's economic relationships with Russia? Boris, do you think that's a factor also in terms of how this propaganda game is plays out?
First of all, I would mention that we are not only a special case because one quarter of Germany was socialist, but also because we have millions of Russians living in Germany, in contrast to UK or America. And it's estimated until 6 million native Russian speakers in Germany, which are living and which are a good base for Russian propaganda and for Russian television. And the economic, of course, it plays a very, very important role. And I think on the one hand, Angela Merkel understands Putin quite well because just she's from the eastern part of Germany and she understands things you never could tell or teach a Western leader, because she understands the psychology of Putin. She understands how he's thinking. On the other hand, she has to think about the interests of our economy, and of course they are against sanctions. They are very afraid of worse relations with Russia, and I think it's quite big pressure on German politics from the economy to stay calm, not to take some real steps, and it's a real dilemma Germany is in.
Definitely Germany will be harmed by these sanctions, and we know that the ties are much closer than the official figures usually show, because there are so many ways to deal with Russia and to do business with Russia, which is not a direct business between Russia and Germany. So the impact may be bigger than we all think it would be. And that will definitely create political pressure if you suddenly see that Germany has in fact stopped growing. And that is a huge impact. And there are many reasons, you can name many reasons for it, but one important reason are the sanctions against Russia.
So looking ahead in terms of the challenges that we face with the propaganda and the disinformation and the sort of the complex economic and political relationships, what do you think in terms of how Europe and the United States can work together in terms of, you know, getting their messages straight, promoting positive narratives, and, you know, hopefully a positive outcome?
I think there are several points we really have. First of all, we have what the Kremlin and the Kremlin machine does is they put a mirror in front of us. And I think politicians do well if they stick more to the values we try to live. And these are not Western values, but I think there are some values like democracy, freedom of press, separation of power, like rule of law. These, for me, are universal values, and there's nothing to discuss about. We really need to stand for these values. That's the one thing. The other thing is we have to, as societies, democracies, must be able to defend themselves. We can't just, it would be naive just to sit down here and say, okay, we wait, what's going to happen? If we accept the thesis, and there's a lot of proof for that thesis, that Russia is using information, for example, and information as a part of a warfare in a very well-organized way, if we see that Russia is having new means of fighting a war, a hybrid war, democratic societies all over the world should start to think, how can they defend themselves against this? And I think here we are right now. NATO got used to have, got a little bit bored in the last 25 years and got a bit slow and not really, they're not up to it anymore. And they're still thinking in old terms, and this is a huge wake-up call for all of them. And they have to live up to that. That is one thing, and democracies have to be aware of this. And that changes the game, and there has to be definitely concrete measures against it. How they look, what they will look like, we really have to discuss in a democratic society.
So we have, you know, sticking to democratic values and really promoting, you know, what you know, Europe, United States, other countries stand for, the freedoms and the values that we have, and also being able to adapt to sort of the, you know, contemporary means of warfare and accepting that, you know, the war in the traditional sense doesn't really apply here and probably moving forward might not be. Boris, last word to you. What about in terms of media? What sort of in reporting on this, you know, you're in Moscow, you're in Germany. Looking ahead, what would you like to see in terms of, you know, a better media environment for being able to communicate?
Well, I think it's a big challenge for us, and especially because we've been losing much competence, and many colleagues who have been working in Russia for years, they have been transferred to Germany or working on other branches now, and we lost very much competence, and we should gain it again. And we have to think about our structure, and we have to think about these new challenges.
I want to add to this that good journalism is about transparency, bringing up facts, showing that there is disinformation. And this is, if there is one mean to fight disinformation, it's good journalism. And that is really something we have to think about, that how journalists in the Western societies, journalists have media, the media industry is going through very tough times, and we have to think about what that means, because good journalism is getting a scarce good, and this is not in the interest of democratic societies. Democratic societies need good journalism, otherwise they will stop being democratic at a certain point of time.
So yeah, it's about adapting policies, adapting our journalistic methods, but actually not leaving behind the tried and true, the things that made sense before, and using a common sense approach to journalism, reporting, and policy making.
So challenge far beyond Russia.
Yeah. Well, thank you both, and we look forward to continuing the conversation downstairs.